It's Sunday the 27th of June. We're halfway through Wimbledon. The World Cup is still going on. And this is Burst the Bubble. Yes, hello, this is Burst the Bubble live on CUR 1350. I'm Mike Quintario, and joining me in the studio today are CJ Donnelly.
Hello.
And Chris Moten.
Hello.
So we've got some good stories for you. We're not going to be spoiling the scores in the World Cup for anyone who's not seen the match.
Or the Doctor Who finale for those sane people out there.
Yep, for all the people who haven't been watching the TV very much over the past couple of days, you don't have to worry about this. And we're also a Vuvuzela free zone.
Speak for yourself. I've been constructing a vuvu trombone. Doesn't work very well.
I hear you had actually a bit of trouble with the airtight valves, making them out of plastic. Is that...
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. Also, you tend to get beaten over the head by football fans, so...
And with only a plastic trombone to defend yourself, you're really in quite a bit of problem there.
You really are, yeah. Plus my weakened, feeble stature, so, you know.
I was going to comment on it, but then I thought, that might be impolite.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I've broken the seal on that, so that's fine.
That must have been hard with your weakened, feeble frame.
It was difficult, but I got there.
Okay, so we're going to get started, rather than just insulting co-hosts, we're going to get started with the Worshipful Guild of... Sorry, Worshipful Company of Information Technologists. I think this sounds... keeping with our standard conspiracy theme, I think this sounds like a secret society rather than just an industry being given a royal charter.
Well, let's remind ourselves of the point of these royal charters. I mean, the point of these royal charters is that if someone sells you something that it turns out isn't what they say it was, the Queen has their head chopped off. I mean, we all remember the Guild of Potters and the Guild of Pottery. Now we just have a Guild of Information Specialists. So if anyone tries to sell you Microsoft Windows, you can kill them, and it's legal.
I don't think that's quite the case there.
Well, yeah. The Queen said so.
Did she really?
Well, no.
I think what we have here is actually something a little bit more prosaic. I think what we've got is some computer scientists were looking for ways to stay out of the sun. And ceremonial robes, they'll do the trick. There was a meeting, presumably, where the guy was like, okay, guys, we need robes. What can we do? Jobs with robes. Bullfighter. No, we die.
Magician. Magician?
Magician would do the trick, yeah. We need manual skills and stage personas interacting with humans. We don't like that. Darth Vader, that's another one. But it's already a job.
We actually spoke about him a few weeks back. It was someone suggesting that he might have some borderline personality disorder.
Is Darth Vader really a job per se? Like, is it actually in the job the job office window right now? You know, after the last one died, Darth Vader must be telekinetic and telepathic and several million years into the past, but with robots.
Yeah, and one of the perks that you get with the job is free energy to fuel the pinball machine that's on your front. And that's where it originally came from. I'm not making this up.
No, it was still working in the film. There's a deleted scene in which Luke plays a brief game of Escape the Junkyard, I think.
Well, Vader's napping or something, and then Vader's like, what's going on here?
Tilt, Luke. Well, no, I like this. The BBC said that the ceremony had pageantry like that of a scaled-down Trooping of the Colour.
Trooping the Colour with dwarves.
It's quite minimalist already, isn't it? I mean, Trooping of the Colour, one guy walks out, one guy walks in. Am I thinking of maybe a bathroom? Maybe I'm thinking of a bathroom.
I think you're mistaking me for a man who knows heraldry.
There is a little guide on the BBC to the meaning of the emblem that this new worshipful company have got. Blue and the stars scattered on the shield represent electricity. Now... I don't think electricity is the first thing that comes to mind when I think of stars. I think balls of flaming hot plasma, not electricity. A light bulb may be electricity. Stars, not so much. what else is on there? The book and keys symbolise knowledge and access to knowledge. So basically that's Wikipedia. We've got a book and keys representing Wikipedia, and green is associated with video displays. We've got past that now, surely.
Yeah, that's 1980s video displays.
Well, so. No, I still set up all my video displays so that they say only black and green. I mean, it greatly improved the quality of, say, When Harry Met Sally. You just watched these black and green blobs move slowly across the screen, and it was hypnotic, really. It was just quite tranquil.
What about watching The Matrix with your screen set to green?
Well, if I could quote from a book...
oh, not again.
While on a boat, admittedly.
Okay, that's it. Give me the book. Give me the book. You're not quoting from a book anymore. You did that last time, and I told you off for it, and I'm not letting you start it again.
You are quite right. If I could quote from another book, which I have
as well.
Good God, cried Marianne. He has been here while we were out.
Okay, I think this is an appropriate point to tell listeners that they can contribute as well by getting in touch with us via email, studio@cur1350.co.uk, or you can go to our website, www.cur1350.co.uk, and click on Listen Live and use the online form there, and also get also see us on the webcam there, which apparently doesn't update very much, so mostly you'll just see the three of us sat here. CJ possibly with a book, unless I prized it from his cold, dead fingers by then.
Goodness knows we aren't contributing much, so...
And you can also text on 07786 20 24 30. That's 07786 20 24 30.
It is CUR 1350.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to Burst the Bubble on CUR 1350, and that was Wonderwall by Oasis, and a nice track there. I feel I quite like that one. A bit old school these days, though. We've got our next news story that we're going on to is a bit one for all the animal lovers out there. A cat that had its back feet severed by a combine harvester, that sounds like a horrible, horrific accident, has been given two prosthetic limbs by a UK vet. So it's a horrible story, but it's ended out nice, I think.
Well, I think it's ended up neutral because, I mean, okay, so running over a cat with a combine harvester, that's bad. Putting feet back on the cat, that's, you know, it's neutral. It would have been good, I think, if they'd replaced the cat's back feet with something that wasn't a foot, or something that's more useful than a foot. I mean, you know, the obvious example is, of course, a can opener. Every cat wishes for nothing more than a
to be able to open its own cat food. It comes in packets now. Yeah. How are cats packaged cat food?
Cats are not packaged, but cat food? Yeah, I've got no idea. Actually, I think it's in pouches, but you need thumbs.
Cat food either comes in pouches or tins. Yeah, so really, the other foot would have to be a bowl, I guess.
Yeah, a bowl would be good. You could go for the Swiss Army paw. That's the obvious way to go.
True, although so then the other one would have to be a thumb to open out the knives.
Right. I want to get a grappling hook in there somehow, because cats, you know, they already love climbing. Well, maybe grappling hook is the obvious way to go.
Maybe they should have cut off the other paws and replaced them with other things as well. Like.
Yeah, I mean...
are we going for the Inspector Gadget of the cat world here? Is that what you guys would have liked?
Yeah, I'm saying pass me the cleaver.
I'm just saying they had the technology...
We might be able to rebuild him. Let's hack him off first and find out later. I think that's a healthy approach to society. I'd vote for that political party.
I like the description of it. The real revolution with Oscar, the cat's called Oscar apparently, and is that we have put a piece of metal in the flange into which skin grows into an extremely tight bone.
Now a flange is actually the plural of a group of baboons, isn't it? I wonder what they're talking about there.
That was Mr. Fitzpatrick, who was one of the partners in creating this. I quite like the idea of a cat with various different Swiss Army knife attachments. But a couple of weeks ago, people were getting worried about someone who programmed a robot to make basically slashing motions with a blade in order to try and work out whether or not they would be a danger to to humans. And so I want to know if anyone's thought of...
You're saying a man programmed a robot to swing a knife to figure out whether knives are dangerous.
to figure out whether robots and knives are dangerous. And I think the answer was yes, if you program them to attack
with
people.
Knives. Stationary knives are dangerous. You don't need a robot. Just put it on a high shelf and introduce a buffoon.
we're getting buffoons into it now. We've got knives which are safe, provided you don't have buffoons.
Well, I always keep a buffoon in my wallet.
Oh, sorry, we didn't quite catch that.
We always keep buffoons in our wallets, don't we?
I don't.
Well, how else do you pay for things?
we're just going to ignore CJ for a little while, I think. I think we need experiments as to what cats with knives would do.
I think, yeah, you can do these experiments if you like. I mean, I can supply cats and knives, but I don't think I'd like to be in the testing chamber.
No, we can do what these scientists previously did. They made something which had the consistency and like strength of skin.
Consistency
over
of
arm.
A cat.
No, a human arm, not the cat. would we get an ethical thing for this if we use a real live cat? Perhaps we need a robot cat.
Well, robot cats with knives have been proven to be dangerous by the recent experiment involving robots with knives.
Yeah, robot anythings. I mean, you know, at what point does it become a robot cat as opposed to, you know, a robot weevil? Robot weevils are very not useful at all. Robot weevils with knives are probably safe because the robot weevil would be completely unable to shift the knife. It'd be fine.
I don't actually know what a weevil is.
I'm not convinced either.
Is it like a weasel?
No, I think it's more like an insect. I think they probably could team up to move the knife.
Ooh,
we could probably have
scary.
A sort of an army ants like
situation.
Yeah, I was
just thinking ants was the obvious thing there. But yeah, I'm wondering at what point they will start. Trying to improve animals using this. I mean, there must be other animals that could be improved with bionic appendages.
Well, pandas. If you could improve pandas so that they bred, then we'd get more pandas.
Yeah, that'd be good.
At the moment, they don't.
Perhaps they just need to... We need to give pandas a way to get on Facebook, because then they get all the ads kind of like, single pandas in your area.
No, yeah. That just makes them depressed.
On a similar note, we want dogs that can actually play poker. I think that'd be very beneficial. The people making those paintings would have a much easier time. And that's a market which has been cruelly suppressed by the recession.
Oh, now I'm just imagining Lady Gaga trying to have a duet with one of these dogs because it's playing poker. It'll be the new video for a re-release of Poker Face.
I thought you were saying Lady Gaga is a dog.
You know, you can actually get a long way with sampling dogs. If you remember Sorry, Miss Jackson, that had a lot of sample dogs in. And the entire soundtrack to the film Armageddon, I think it was largely sampled from dogs. Most of the music, in fact, you can make entire orchestras out of just the sample of a single dog barking.
Okay, speaking of sounds, I think that's quite a nice segue into our next story, which is that some people have looked at the data they're expecting to get from the Large Hadron Collider.
I have a dog here.
No, you don't. Stop it.
If I could quote from a dog,
just tell it, just read its innards somehow. some scientists have looked at the sort of data. CJ, stop it. Some scientists have looked at some data, I'll get there eventually, from the Large Hadron Collider and tried to simulate, to turn it into a sound, map it into sound somehow, so they can listen for when they detect a Higgs boson.
Yeah, I think this was kind of grim because the sound that it made. Can we actually play that to people? Is that do we have the technology? Can we rebuild?
We might actually. Let me just see if I can
live on air
get this to work. There you go. That's the sound a Higgs boson might make. That's coming off the BBC website.
That's just a Swedish person with a full water glass. What I want to know is, why don't they just turn the speakers into microphones and play that sound back into the LHC?
And create Higgs bosons that way.
Well, why not? It sounds easy enough, doesn't it?
I'm kind of disappointed by that sound. I was hoping for something recognisable there.
I think what we found out here is that that is the sound of creation, and that creation was in Emerson, Lake and Palmer. I'm not particularly happy with that finding. I never liked the band, and that probably means I'm going to hell. So I'm concerned.
Who called it the God Particle anyway? I didn't. I dislike the name the God Particle. It's one of my pet peeves.
Good comeback.
Just because dog is God spelt backwards, it's not the dog particle either.
Well, all I'm saying is, it's anti-particle, must be the dog particle.
just imagine there. And now I shall create the universe. Oh no, what's that coming towards me?
Is it a monster? Is it a... No, you're asking me to bark there, weren't you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. The joke here is that antiparticles are actually particles traveling backwards through time. So dog literally would be God going backwards through time. Yeah, so yeah. It would be the dog particle.
This is what passes for humour among physicists.
And you also had the problem, of course, that God hasn't been observed in quite a while. So it's quite possible that when the Christians finally get there and they get to the end of days, they'll observe God and he will go... and they'll go, damn! Dog, damn! He was dog.
Those Christians are adapting mighty quickly there, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, they don't want to commit a terrible faux pas in front of their creator stroke canine lord.
People, if you have any comments on any of the stories that we've touched so far, the Worshipful Company of IT or dogs in general, sounds of Higgs bosons or bionic cats, you can get in touch with us, studio@cur1350.co.uk, or going onto our website, www.cur1350.co.uk, or you can text us if you're not near a computer, and you can text us on 07786 20 24 30. That is 07786 20 24 30. Okay, now we're going to move swiftly on. We'll possibly come back to those stories if we get anyone particularly interested in them, and we are going to now talk about the fact that Harrods is apparently going to offer its staff a honours degree in sales. I got a bit confused when I first saw this, because the headline seems to suggest that there would just be a sale on at Harrods and you could go and pick up a degree. You hear stories, around this time of year it's traditional to have stories about how GCSEs are getting easier and A-levels are getting easier and none of them are worth anything, but actually having things, degrees just so sold by Harrods, that's a new one.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of an ongoing theme, right? Of degrees becoming less worthwhile. So you can get a BA in sales from Harrods. Presumably, it's not going to be too long before you can get an A level in burger flipping from McDonald's. Or they'll need to dress that up a bit. So that'll be an A level bovine rotation or something.
Can you get a vocational qualification from McDonald's already?
I think you can. You definitely can. In fact.
I'm sure you can. I mean, but what I wonder is, what are we going to rename the real degrees so that you can distinguish the people who know things from the people who can sell things?
I think you're treading on a very thin line here between just like insulting a huge proportion of this country's population.
I mean, I don't want to come across as a snob, but wishing won't make it so.
If I could play devil's advocate, I think that degrees and qualifications are becoming harder and harder. And what we're actually seeing is that people are getting through these things and then shortly afterwards realizing the crushing disappointment that knowledge is actually worth very little in your life. And so things are getting harder, but people are complaining a lot more about them.
We love to complain, don't we? The entire country, I think it's almost our national pastime. So I think that we complain whether they were getting easier, harder, staying the same, going on to an entirely orthogonal axis.
And what with the football this afternoon, they may or may not be complaining. Don't panic.
I like how you avoided giving anything at all away there.
Absolutely. Or not. You'll find out.
I think we could possibly like start thinking about what other kind of like big things in this country could offer specialized degrees as well as Harrods. I think we could probably have. I think the Queen should start offering a degree in monarchy.
BA monarchy. Just in case, you know, I'm 3,500th in the line to the throne. It's possible that a massive anvil will drop on London, and it'll be me. And what will I do? I don't know how to wear a crown. I don't know what you do. You put it on your head. I mean, that's
well, yes. Where else are you going to put it on?
Okay, no, I wasn't going to put it on as an armband and be like, "This is inconvenient. Who designed this thing?" No, but yeah, I mean, you know, how to properly posture it. I don't want to show up like King John in the Disney version of Robin Hood. That would just be embarrassing. People would think I was going to tear up their Magna Carta or whatever. I don't have that against my name.
Magna Carta's laminated nowadays.
I just love the idea of being so far in line to the throne. It's like the national lottery in some ways. It could be you, but it probably won't. Yeah, there we go. The national lottery could offer a degree in saying numbers in dramatic ways.
It could do, but that would put its one presenter out of a job.
No, he'd surely be the vice chancellor of this university. It would be an increase in role for him.
Vice chancellor.
What?
I'm just saying, it's not chancellor, is it? It's a step down.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. No, sorry, I thought you were getting it. You know, he's the chancellor of vice.
Oh no, I'm all in favour of gambling.
Well, that's lucky that we're talking about the national lottery then.
Well, actually, that's technically a game of skill.
What?
If you can guess the right numbers. Shall I just go back to Barking? I think I'm going to go back to Barking.
Yeah, I mean, like roulette. That next
when's the next train to Barking?
we all saw that one coming. So, TJ, that wasn't a good joke. No. He's looking at me. No, don't. He's going to...
I'm putting on my Henry VIII wig.
Oh, no, so what other institutions do you think could offer degrees? We could kind of get the spread out the skill set in this country.
So we could obviously offer a degree in, well, I suppose we could go for queuing, running bad trains, pastiching oneself without any real forethought or, you know, preparation. We could offer a degree in preparation, although it would probably be rubbish.
we could offer a degree in, like, this is not any bearing on today's football results, but just going on past performance of the English team, we could have a degree in coping with the cringing disappointment that inevitably results are when we have a penalty shootout.
Yes, indeed. Yes, that would just be a hooliganism. That'd be quite good. It would make cleaning up football hooliganism very easy because you'd walk into the exam and there'd just be a police sergeant patting a truncheon going, "I've got you all now."
That would, in fact, possibly be a good way of making sure that we have a certain percentage of people going into higher education. Just make degrees more appropriate to them.
Are you saying that the people that don't go into higher education are hooligans?
No, I'm saying that hooliganism could be just one of a large degree of choices, a large number of choices that they could potentially make.
Well, I think we should actually offer mandatory degrees in postmodern societies.
I don't feel postmodern.
Well, that's because you're British, but if you look at, you know, the British idea of society and the rest of the world, everywhere else in the world seems to have an idea of what their society means, whereas we've just talked a bit about how we're rubbish and hooligans, and yet incredibly something at football. And I think we should really face up to the fact that we are the only people brave enough to be really confused about who we are.
Yeah, we're damn sure of what we used to be.
Yeah.
We've all got a top hat in the cupboard, and we don't know really how to wear it. Much like that crown.
Does the top hat go up the arm? Because, you know, there's no hole in the end. Do you punch, like, do you wear a new top hat every time, so you punch a hole in the end every time? That's expensive.
You roll the top hat up your arm and then flip it stylishly onto your head.
Ought I to wear a top hat on Ascension Sunday? I just don't know.
What's Ascension Sunday?
I used to know. Something ascended. Maybe knowledge about days.
Maybe it was Sunday.
Maybe the number of public holidays ascended.
when that's
Ascension,
nice.
Ascension Day, you know.
We'll have another day off then.
Yeah, the holiday day. The self-describing holiday.
Well, if any of our listeners out there have got any suggestions as to... as to what degrees various parts of this country could offer, if you could get in touch with us, that'd be great. studio@cur1350.co.uk, or if you're online, you might as well just go to www.cur1350.co.uk, where you can listen to us live while you're composing a witty email on the form there, or you could text us on 07786 20 24 30. That's 07786 20 24 30.
Live across Cambridge, this is CUR 1350.
Yep, so you're listening to Burst the Bubble on CUR 1350, if you hadn't guessed that from the jingle that just played. And we're going to move on to the world of advertising now, which is something of course we feel very dearly about here, because some of this radio station is funded by adverts. But California, as people might know, California is having a bit of trouble with money at the moment. So they're thinking about selling digital adverts on their car number plates. So when you're stopped at lights or whatever, your number plate updates to show some sort of advert that has been paid for, and all the money goes into the state coffers. And a little bit of it trickles down to the drivers as well.
So I think adverts are really just a symptom of our own willingness to be curious, and I think that it's really just satisfying a primeval urge that we have to look at other things, like the time when Eleanor's curiosity to see Mrs. Ferrars was satisfied. You know, I think that if we see more advertising, we won't mind until it becomes too great a level. So it's always going to be a self-correcting system. Advertisers never want to make us angry. So I'm really all in favour of this.
I think advertisers do sometimes want to make us angry, though. I think the main danger here is some guy's going to be driving along the highway and his number plate's going to say, "Quick, look over there! Dave's medical insurance." I think the citizens of California are in great danger.
I think the main danger here is robots with knives.
robots with knives advertising themselves?
Look over there. If you were a robot with a knife, that probably wouldn't have injured you.
Dave's medical insurance.
Cyberman division.
Apparently the adverts would only appear while you're stopped. When you're in motion, they would disappear. So can you imagine if it was like an actual moving advert? It'd be really frustrating if they timed it badly, so that just as you were about to get what the advert was for, the car in front drove off, and you're just like, "Oh, I need to follow that car to find out what that advert was about."
So hang on, it's going to be based on the vehicle in front of you not moving, right? So if you were intending to brake very suddenly, but then a really incredibly interesting advert was on the car in front, yeah, then you might just go into the back end.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't the horizon lovely this time of year?
It'd be amusing if it was here's a thing. Why don't we just use it to broadcast, like, stay safe and pay your taxes? I think that might actually be more effective for the state of California than adverts.
Or in fact, any other government-sponsored message, such as, you know, vote Republican, vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Basically anything the government wants us to think. Why don't we just plaster that everywhere and believe it?
Ignorance is strength, and so on.
are we trying to use vehicles now to get Big Brother to take over California?
I think the problem is that Orwellian societies are dangerous and demeaning and destroy the human race, but they're also really awesome. And we have the opportunity here to make one, and I think if we're going to put it somewhere, let's put it in California.
I like this. The number could be replaced with a scrolling set of messages, including advertisements for private businesses, educational institutions, and other organizations that have contracts with the state. Contracts with the state? That sounds like the hiring out people to go out and do their dirty work.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to kill someone, you just put a really interesting advert on the car in front and wait for time to do its thing.
But you've got to be careful. I mean, you know, be like, "Steve Davis, specifically, the snooker player, apparently. Look at the horizon. Did you know 60% of deaths are caused by falling anvils?" death. But it has to be that specific guy. It needs to interest him particularly. So in this case, I suppose it would be there's a custom snooker cue attached to that anvil that's falling that you should look at.
So now we're getting people prying into other people's lives just so they can tell what adverts that could be used to distract them.
And kill them.
I don't think I'm prying by finding out that Steve Davis plays snooker. Possibly.
I didn't know that.
I might be remembering the wrong way.
No, I didn't.
I think that's right, yeah.
I'm probably indicting a whole variety of Steves and Davises. I'm sorry.
How long do you reckon before it ends up being adult material on the car number plates, really?
Well, if you're driving after 9 p.m, then obviously the rules will change.
Tickety tock, it's porn o'clock here in California. I don't know why that would happen.
Is your hot rod hot enough?
No, hot rods are what you get from KFC.
No, a hot rod is a kind of vehicle that one drives in California.
Yeah. You can eat hot rods in a hot rod whilst polishing your hot rod, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Especially not while it's moving.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a stunt man, and that's your stunt. Adult stunts.
I think we should quickly
this website.
quickly move away from this one.
Don't Google it. You'll only regret it.
I'm going to imagine a permutation of what I assume you meant by those three hot rods there. So I'm going to imagine someone in a giant edible fast food snack washing a car.
and some nice tunes blaring over the radio.
Sure.
I was going to finish that, but I'd forgotten what the remaining one was. Possibly due to repression.
Well, okay. So, have you got any ideas for anything that you might like to listen to that you might like to see on your car or be advertised on your car? Or have you got something which, would bionic cats be good advertisements on a car? Anything information you've got? Any comments about any of the stories that we're talking about today? Email studio@cur1350.co.uk or go to the website www.cur1350.co.uk. And you can also text us on 07 86 20 24 30. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Burst the Bubble on CUR 1350, and now we're moving on to another news story, which is, if I can just find it, which is a bald man who's won an appeal against not being allowed to apply to be a police officer because he couldn't provide hairs for a drug test. But I'm surprised this hasn't come up before. It seems like an obvious flaw in your recruitment procedures if part of the stuff is you can't be bald unless you're trying to hire someone to be a hair model, for instance.
Well, it reminds me of the story of last year about police officers in India who were being encouraged to grow moustaches, I think it was. Is that right?
Was that to be more approachable?
It was to be more intimidating, I think. I might have this story
wrong.
Was it
like a big, long, twirly moustache?
Yeah, you know, a big waxed one that curls up at the edges.
A little goatee beard.
And a little black hat and a snigger that strikes fear into the heart of anyone listening.
Are we going for the Indian police, or have we gone back into 1984 Orwellian secret police here?
I think we were thinking about 1884 black and white movies.
But, yeah, so he was in an advanced stage of the police service of Northern Ireland's recruitment process. I like the idea of the advanced stage. It's like you pass the basic policing test. You can go, evening, sir. What's going on here? Then, and see, I'd fail the basic policing tests on the basis of this.
I'm not doing anything, and you're bald.
So section two is headed, hello, hello, hello there, what's going on here? Nothing. Now what?
So I guess it's a good thing, like, if you're ever worried about someone maybe impersonating a police officer to you, just ask them to take off their helmet. And if they're bald, then they're probably just impersonating a police officer.
Ah.
And you should try and sell them some drugs.
What?
Well, it's safe.
Yeah, I think we should, like, make it clear that we're not suggesting that any of our listeners are drug dealers or should be drug dealers in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, because none of our listeners are bald. Bald people, on the other hand, are drug dealers. Remember that, kids.
Because they can't tell.
Don't start insulting the bald people. This man stood up against the police and actually said, look, mate, you can't.
He probably didn't say it like that there, because he's in Northern Ireland. He's like, look, mate, oh, damn, I'm from London. Why?
Why am I bald and from London and trying to be a Northern Irish police officer? Where did my life go wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to do the right accent, but I'm paraphrasing heavily here, let that be understood. He basically says, at least, look, you can't do this just because I'm bald. You can't kick me out. And he was also unable to provide about 200 body hairs as an alternative for some, was it 3 centimetre long hairs? Yeah, 3 centimetre long hairs. What? That's how this story has left me. It's just kind of like,
I'm afraid I need a more coherent query from you, Mr. Quintero.
So does this mean that Sikh police officers have to be especially careful because they take one hair and per weight it's the same, but you know what might be an acceptable level of heroin in a 3 millimeter long hair would be completely out if it was say 2 foot long?
I mean, the Sikhs are safe because they can do all the heroin they want, because they'll be like, well, this hair is from 1932. It's fine.
Past the statute of limitations on heroin use.
I'm getting slightly worried here about suggestions of drug taking. I think we should move on and just say well done to this man for sticking up.
Well, I'm not saying any particular Sikh is taking drugs, of course not. But presumably there's at least one in the world. I think that's not too controversial. And all I'm saying about them is that you could probably look at the hair and form a profile. It'd be like the rings of a tree. You know, you'd be like between 1962 and 1965, this gentleman was enjoying some high quality cocaine, whereas between 72 and 77 he ate nothing but baked beans. You know, you could
just tell from people's hair that they ate just baked beans.
Yeah, I think if you ate just baked beans, I think it would show up in your hair.
I think you'd have high concentrations of heinzium, whatever unique substance is in baked beans that makes them so delicious.
The Haricot beans, aren't they?
The heinzium beans.
Heinzium, yeah. You're thinking of that they went bust. Harako went bust.
Don't spoil my childhood.
Okay, so moving swiftly on, we've got another. Well, this one isn't. I was going to say international, but then realised it was Wales, so that's not actually international.
That is controversial, isn't it?
Listeners.
It's not.
I loved you, Welsh nationalists. You're all right.
Yeah, Welsh nationalists, listeners who believe in devolution.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite all right. You're as all right as non-nationalist Welshmen and non-Welshmen. That's what I'm saying. Don't listen to this contrario. What is your name?
Contrario. Please don't stutter when you're saying it. We might have to cut that bit out of the edit.
The edit? There's an edit?
Well, there might be an edit. I'm hoping to get an edit done and put on the internet at some point.
Anyway, we were talking about Welsh people.
There's a Welsh mountain, Triffin, in Snowdonia, and they were worried that actually it wasn't over 3,000 feet, which is like what they really want it to be a mountain.
And they made a film about this, didn't they?
The man who walked up a hill and came down a mountain?
No. That would be quite a slow, slow man, I think. No, I have no idea what you're thinking about there, actually.
Okay, now you're just trying to wind me up again.
I'm genuinely confused.
But anyway, some people went up there and measured it with GPS and found that actually it was 3,010 feet over sea level, which is 8 feet taller than its official measurement. So
GPS is, of course, accurate to about within 10 feet.
that was one thing that got me confused about this. I thought, I didn't think you could do it as accurately as they were claiming here.
You can if you're in the military, because then the US charge you more money and unlock their secret spy satellite codes. Yep. So unless these people were military Welsh nationalists, I don't think we can accept their conclusions.
It's been apparently verified by a member of the Ordnance Survey. I'm not sure a member. Is it like a club? Is it like the Worshipful Guild of Information Technologists?
Maybe they just mean a map. Maybe they mean they looked at a map. and it said 3010.
So says Dave.
I don't know. It says here it appears on the map at 3,002 feet. So I'm sorry. I'm going to have to shoot that idea down, CJ.
Well, I'm glad that I have Dave's medical insurance.
In Scotland, where they have the same sort of issue, they have Munros, which I think have to be 3,000 feet tall.
I think that's right.
Roughly a kilometre. And apparently a thing that does go on is, the GPS guy's up there and they go, tut, 2,000...
The GPS.
The GPS police. They ride around in a big GPS with wheels. I don't know. The point is that if they get to the top and they go, this mountain's 2,996 feet tall or whatever, they go, tut, that's not a Monroe, bad luck, guys. Everybody who climbed that, your time was wasted. And they genuinely, the Scottish Mountaineering Club, which has a sillier name than that, go and enlarge the mountain. As in, they literally carry a bunch of stuff up the mountain and just stick it up there in a big pile in order to raise the summit to the desired degree.
There's actually a danger here with global warming in that soon the sea levels are going to rise and those Monroes are going to...
It'll become a race.
The highest above sea level would be...
It will become a race between hill walkers and the environment.
So when Waterworld finally happens and Kevin Costner wins, we'll have the Scottish Mountaineering Club to thank.
I found that not many people have actually heard of that film.
Really?
Waterworld, yeah.
I don't know why. I've only heard of it in the context that it's bad, and Kevin Costner's in it, and it costs a lot, and he shouldn't have made it. That's all I've heard about it, unfortunately.
No, you pretty much captured it there, actually. Never mind.
I think what we might be seeing here is... So the Scots are enlarging their mountains. What we might be finding is that the Welsh are, in fact, pilfering their mountains. That they're going up to Scotland, they're climbing the Scottish mountains, and they're taking... they're grabbing a stone or two each, they're going back to Wales, and they're putting that on their mountains. So we're going to find that Wales is slowly ascending and Scotland is slowly descending due to this this nationalist mountaineering warfare.
I like the fact that the Snowdonia Society have previously said that Triffin was a wonderful summit, no matter how it actually was, which to me kind of... Just strikes me as being a bit similar as to when people say, "Oh, we don't mind how well you've done in your exam or in the football. We still love you." And it's just like everyone else is just looking at them going, "Well, actually, you're just being a bit rubbish now." That's the impression that I got anyway.
Sounds like a bit of teenage angst is coming out there, actually, Michael. Do you want to explore that on air?
No, I don't.
Are you sure?
I've climbed Welsh mountains before. Is that what you're asking?
Well, had you been only in a violent fever, you would not have despised us half as much, is all I'm saying.
To quote from a book about dogs.
But, Triffin, I believe, it is a nice mountain to climb. There are quite a lot of nice mountains around there, and I like climbing them. So I think that covers everything. Really.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I am a mountaineer.
join Michael Quintero's mountaineering club. We've got a special deal with Dave's medical insurance.
Mountaineers non-anonymous. We are proud.
It's been 3 years since I surmounted a summit, but yesterday I saw a molehill. I just couldn't
help myself.
I couldn't help myself. Oh,
I trod on a mole. I think that we can add that to Proverbs. Don't pretend a molehill is a mountain.
Fortunately, the mole had its back legs bionically replaced with a sort of a tea tray or flat shield-like surface, and so it was
back leg.
Yeah, it was facing backwards at the time. Don't pick holes.
That's the mole's job.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I'm a mole, and I live in a logical hole.
Oh, we just got time, I think, for one last story from the news this week, which is this one truly is international, and it's that the Interior Ministry in Taiwan is trying to improve its birth rate, which is one of the lowest in the world. Camborne, on the other hand, Camborne is obviously at the other end of that league. Camborne, the village just outside Cambridge, apparently has one of the highest birth rates. So in some small sense, Taiwan is trying to become more like Camborne.
Does it actually have the highest birth rate? Sorry, I thought you were just burning your principles about it.
I know Camborne has supposedly a higher birth rate than India, which is quite some good going, I think.
Not per capita, that's absolute birth rate.
It's per person, per thousand people, isn't it?
No, it's absolute birth rate.
I think you're making this up again,
well,
CJ.
You have to understand that Camborne is one of the fastest growing cities in Britain. It was a town about half an hour ago.
Yeah, we just had that information in, obviously.
Yeah. If you drive out of Camborne, Camborne actually expands faster than you're able to drive, and it's practically impossible to actually escape.
Advertisers are having a field day because their target market is just growing and growing.
So the way they're trying to boost their birth rate from
Taiwan,
one birth per woman to Taiwan, not Camborne. Camborne is increasing its birth rate just by having lots of people wanting to start families there, young professionals moving in.
Oh, you keep coming so close and then just steering away into the realms of acceptability, you coward.
Taiwan, the Interior Ministry, have suggested that they have matchmaking. Matchmaking events, there's actually something very similar in one of our previous shows. I think it was in Holland, where they were trying to get people on the dole signed up to a matchmaking website. Well, this one seems a bit more wide ranging. It's everyone.
Breed unemployed. Breed. Seven years later, someone said, "Hang on, what? What kind of social policy are we trying to implement here?
Anything we need, it's more of those guys."
Apparently, the Taiwanese authorities announced they were seeking a new slogan to boost the island's falling birth rate.
Taiwan, it's almost as good as Camborne.
Taiwan, babies.
That's not really a slogan, is it?
That's an imperative. That's the prime directive or something.
the prime directive.
Babies. Bear in mind here that they were specifically piloting this for government employees. So I'd like to submit as the slogan should be, don't just regulate, copulate. I'm quite proud of that. That's only about half an hour.
Officials suggested departments have single women team up with the police, who have mainly many unattached men. I don't know. People, apparently, women go for guys in uniform, but it was like, why? What are they doing in Taiwan? They need this much help.
I'm going to have to distance myself from your vile stereotyping of women, the Welsh, and now the Taiwanese.
That was obviously a joke. Come on.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Okay.
Let's grab him. Take his place down.
In the stereotype, stereotypically women like police.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
Smash the system.
This system that we're near.
And on that note, I think we're going to have to disappear because we're running out of time. So before we get smashed to bits, thank you very much. Bye-bye.